The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A good day. Plenty still to come on this news-filled edition of First Take, including more on the stunning fallout of John Gruden. Plus, Ben Simmons' surprising return to Philly and more on Lamar Jackson's heroic performance on Monday Night Football. Back to the top story of the day right now, though. John Gruden resigning as head coach of the Raiders in the wake of his racist, misogynistic, and anti-gay emails being exposed during an investigation of the Washington football team. He announced his resignation in a statement on Monday night shortly after the New York Times reported that he used misogynistic and anti-gay language in numerous emails during a seven-year period that ended in 2018. The Times story came after Adam Schefter reported the NFL had sent the Raiders additional Gruden emails to review emails that were on top of the one that surfaced last week in which Gruden used a racist comment in referring to NFLPA executive director Demora Smith and other emails in which Gruden disparaged NFL commissioner Roger Goodell with a vulgar description. The Raiders said assistant Rich Bisaccia will serve as interim coach. John Gruden put out the following statement. I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and did not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. Raiders owner Mark Davis adding, I've accepted John Gruden's resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So interesting timing. These emails were sent while John Gruden was working for ESPN as lead analyst for Monday Night Football and his resignation announced during Monday Night Football. Spent 9 years in that Monday Night Football booth. Mina Kimes, always a pleasure to have you and can't wait to hear your reaction to this whole situation. What were your thoughts when this went down, Mina?
Yeah, well, first, it started on Friday, of course, and frankly, after his initial racist comments surfaced, I was a little bit surprised at how many people were giving him the benefit of the doubt, or rather, his excuse. Now, as you mentioned, Molly, you've got further racist comments, misogynistic comments, homophobic comments. He went after the NFL for caring about concussions and the racial justice movement, which I feel like has been a little bit lost in this, and he's gone, and I'm not surprised, but I still have a lot of questions. These emails, over many years, by the way, they surfaced as part of the NFL's investigation into the Washington football team's horrible culture under Dan Snyder. And I will tell you this, John Gruden is not alone in expressing some of these hateful views. I truly doubt it. I mean, the revelation, frankly, of these comments, it only confirms what a lot of people, myself included, believe, know, suspect, which is that people in power in this league and beyond, the things they say amongst themselves when they are comfortable are different from the things that they say in public. And I believe that investigation, which was not released, should be made public. I think there needs to be more sunlight on all of this and not just on John Gruden. And I think this toxic culture needs to be eradicated from the sport that I love.
Let me say this real quick, just as an aside before Keyshawn chimes in here. John Gruden's statement, that last sentence, I never meant to hurt anybody. Well, rhetorically, I'll throw out this question. It wouldn't have hurt Eric Reed to get fired. It wouldn't have hurt women if they weren't allowed to be officials. It wouldn't have hurt Michael Sam if he was never drafted at all because of his sexual orientation. What do you mean you didn't mean to hurt anybody?
Yeah.
You actually did. That was the intent. He didn't feel Michael Sam should be in this league. He didn't feel women should be officiating. He didn't feel that Eric Reed should be in the league. I think that would have hurt people. And so when you see that, and it's inconsistent. And then you see the press conference, and he's talking about, I really don't want to talk about this anymore. That's what John Gruden had said at the press conference the other day, just trying to determine how other people would come at him and what have you. You just see that this is really something that had to happen. There's no way around it.
Well, he says all those sort of things he didn't want to talk about anymore because he's been in control and in power.
Right.
So he wanted to try to force that will on everybody. And like I said on my show, No, you don't get to tell people when they can't have a conversation about what you did that was a very bad thing. That's not your choice anymore. Right. You gave that right up when you put them emails out there and they got publicized for people to see. And so at that point in time, you know, again, I go back to the Raiders, however they arrived to the decision, whether it was resigning, fired, whatever decisions was made, they made the right choice to move on from him coaching the team. It was a failed experiment. It certainly was. But I also would say this about John. He's got some soul searching to do, because if you think that you didn't mean to hurt anybody, like you said, Stephen A., there's a lot of people that could have been hurt, feelings are hurt, feel a certain way now, going to be looked at totally different in terms of the way that they view him. And so he's got a lot of soul searching to do with his family. He's put his family in a difficult situation because I'm sure that they probably didn't know that this exists. Now, they've got to answer questions at the country club or at the grocery store or the son who's a trainer and a weightlifter. He's got to now have people looking at him a certain way. So you think about all of those things.
Or your brother who was coaching in the league.
Or your brother who was coaching in the league. People are now going to look at Jay and be like, well, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. That's that. Even though Jay is a good guy. Like, I like Jay.
Right.
Like, I rock with Jay. But now you're sitting back, you're going to yourself, well, wait a minute. Well, wait, if that, y'all align with each other, you start to, all these dominoes, like Mina said, he's not the only one. So whoever else is involved is certainly holding their breath, Mina.
Go ahead, Mina.
That's a really good point. And frankly, I was really frustrated watching his players have to answer for his his black players answering for his comments on Friday. And now with this latest batch of emails, you know, many people pointed out the NFL's first out active player, Carl Nassib, is a Raider. By the way, he's been having a great season, which is besides the point, but I want to mention, I don't want him to have to answer for this. If he wants to speak on it, you know, more power to him. But it frustrates me, it angers me so much that John Gruden has put, he put his black players in a terrible position last week. He's put Nassib in a difficult position now. And to Keyshawn's point, your intent might have been different. I disagree with that, but whatever, that's excuse. But the consequences are many people feel hurt by these comments, and your own players now have to answer for them, shouldn't have to. And that's why I think we're going so hard on him, because not going so hard, but he's been subject to so much criticism. You are the NFL coach. And what that means is you're supposed to be a leader. You are responsible for others. That is why all of those players now have to answer for this. And I frankly think it stinks.
The great thing, though, about answering for it, though, Mina, is the locker room can now rally around Rich Bisacci, who I know, who's the interim coach, a longtime special teams coach that I jump on the table for, that I don't have any worries about whatsoever. Because when you are a special teams coach, as you know, Mina, you deal with everybody.
Yeah.
There is no offense, defense, kicker, punt. You deal everybody, all 53 people you deal with, because they're part of your unit. So I think this will last a couple days as far as the Raiders go, and then they'll be able to move on with a new leader in charge. It still will hover around Gruden, and there'll still be conversations. But for the most part, Stephen A., it'll go away from inside the locker room.
There is, Mina, Molly, mm-hmm. Keyshawn, there is a silver lining here. Because you see, he said what he said in those emails. He said it in an environment that showed the existence of this kind of clique, all right? It raised eyebrows. It alarmed us all. And it reminded us that it's real easy to do in an environment like the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't have diversity amongst ownership, when you have limited diversity amongst management, then obviously you combine that with a hard salary cap and the level of restrictions that you're able to place on a franchise because of the heavy hand that you wield, you're able to get away with so much more than you'd ever be able to get away with, say, in some place like the NBA or in various places in corporate America. Now, obviously, there are some places in corporate America. They still got these issues. You got bosses, white bosses in corporate America right now looking at all of us like we the problem. You know, John Gruden, what he said, what's the big deal and what have you. You got that going on. We all know that, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but at the end of the day, what it highlights is the need to address diversity or lack thereof in ownership and management positions. And why do I bring that up? Because when the whole Colin Kaepernick situation went down, and then ultimately years later, Jay-Z got involved in the mix, and everybody was lamenting, you know, Hov, I mean, why he got to be there? Why he got to be doing business with the NFL? You know why? Because he's in that room.
Yeah.
And when and being in that room,
table.
When it's time for an ownership stake to be granted for somebody, he might be in a position where he ends up getting an ownership stake. And as a result, diversity will be in the mix. And when you have that level of diversity, they can't go around willy-nilly communicating like that and acting like that and thinking they're going to wield some level of power because there are people that don't look like them, don't share their pigmentation or hue or cultural identity, and as a result, they've got to educate themselves to such a degree so they can act accordingly, and that's what makes the world a better
place.
Real
quick, I know we need to go to break, and I know you'll be back with us later, Mina, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I just found it so egregious. What did you think of the fact of the player health and safety issue, how he was diminishing, protecting the players, and you're making your money on their bodies. And we know the detrimental effects of CTE, the long-term health, and how awful they are.
Yeah, I'm glad I feel like that's been a little bit overlooked in all of this. I mean, granted, there's so much content in these emails, it's hard to focus on one thing. But yes, you know, he talked about the NFL's initiative to reduce concussions and basically mocked Roger Goodell. It's so regressive. All of this is so regressive. It's so outdated. The sport is moving in a different direction from John Gruden. And to me, that on that particular issue, along with race and gender and all of that, that signifies to me he has no place in this sport. Because the way the NFL is going, we need coaches and we need leaders who care about not only inclusivity and being a good leader, but also player health. And making a comment like that tells me he didn't care enough.
Well, another thing I want to bring up, Mina, because you just brought up something or you reminded me of something that I had said yesterday. John Gruden won the title, Super Bowl championship, Tony Dungy's team, but nevertheless, he got this first year, won the Super Bowl championship in 2002. Mm-hmm. He coached in Tampa the next 6 years. He made the playoffs twice. He comes to Oakland before moving to Las Vegas years later. What a 10 or 11 year hiatus.
Yeah.
He comes back, not coached on any level for 11 years. He gets $100 million over 10 years.
Well, we don't know.
And by the way, bonuses that could lift it to 118. Little birdie, little source told me that years ago. Incentivated $18 to $20 million. You don't have anybody that's getting that kind of contract. And so I bring that up to say the man has coached essentially 10 years and has two playoff appearances in 10 years. And everybody was walking around talking about him like he was Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Now, that ain't white privilege. I don't know what the hell is.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Well, Game 2 of the WNBA Finals, Wednesday night, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on ESPN and the app. Candace Parker in the sky of 1-0 against Diana Taurasi and the Mercury. Back to our top story. John Gruden resigned as head coach of the Raiders in the wake of his racist, misogynistic, and anti-gay emails being exposed during an investigation of the Washington football team. Rich Bisaccia now takes over as the Raiders' interim head coach. Super Bowl champion Jeff Saturday back here with us. And, Jeff, I'll start this conversation with you. We want to go on the field. How does the Gruden turmoil impact the Raiders moving forward? Because they're having a solid season.
You're exactly right. I think it goes to structure, right? Mark Davis needs to come in and assign everybody roles and responsibilities. And Bisaccia, the new or the acting head coach, assign roles, play calls. How's this going to get done? What's the chain of command really look like? And then, Molly, you roll from there. I mean, here's the reality of a locker room, an NFL locker room. We are taught our whole lives to control the controllables. What happened with John Gruden is out of our control. And as harsh as that sounds, the minute that thing happened and John Gruden stepped down, it keeps moving. And so guys like Derek Carr on the offensive side got to step up. Hey, man, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the touch point. Everything's going to come through me. Like, you're going to watch leadership come to the forefront from players, and you can watch this team develop. You have to frame it as a player, as this is an opportunity to show my leadership and the capability in tough times, how do we respond? And I think every player, and Keyshawn knows this, man, we're in a locker room. It sounds as bad as it could, but it really doesn't matter what goes on outside of our locker room. It's us versus the world. So how do we respond now? John Gruden's gone, next man up. And here we go moving. So I think once the structure set in place, which we know is happening right now, those calls will be made. But listen, I played for 13 years on a player-driven team. And it was armed from Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell, allowing us to be the voices not only in the locker room but in the community and to our teammates. If somebody needed to be challenged, it was our job to do it. This can happen in Las Vegas, but it's just a matter of who will step up on which side of the ball and really take control of this thing and move from there.
Jeff is absolutely right, Stephen A. When you think about it, it's about the locker room.
Okay.
And Rich Versace. When Rich takes over, he gets up there in his first team meeting, and he is now the interim head coach. They're going to take his lead. The John Gruden stuff is going to go away. They're not worried about that. As wild as it may sound, we play for each other in the 53-man locker room. We don't necessarily play for the head coach, even though we like Coach Dungy and we like Coach Caldwell and we like all the guys, Bill Parcells and them, but we know that we're together in the locker room and the people upstairs are together as far as the coaching staff goes and doing what they do. Gruden's gone now. It's about us leading things forward. It's about leadership groups stepping up. It's about the quarterback taking command. It's about the new offensive coordinator calling the plays. It's about the defensive coordinator getting to do what he wants to do and not what he's being told to do, Stephen A.
Well, listen, Jeff Saturday, you're going to have to forgive me because I know this is a serious show and a very serious subject, and I get all of that. But I'm going to have to be, get a little lighthearted here. Keyshawn.
What's up?
Nice try, my brother.
What's up?
Real slick on your part. Oh, this comes down to Derek Carr. That's what this is about right here. I want to hear all this other stuff. Keyshawn ain't getting away with this Jeff Saturday. Derek Carr, MVP candidate. I told y'all the Raiders were going to come down to earth. They lost over the last two weeks. They're on a two-game losing streak, okay? And all I'm saying to you is this. Listen. We know the John Gruden situation is a serious matter.
Yes.
But as an aside, I just want to remind the world. I told Keyshawn, I said, yo, they were 6-3 last year and then went on a six-week stretch where they lost five games and didn't even make the playoffs. I got to see it to believe it. And here we are. Now, granted, it's been a distraction for a serious issue.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's been a matter for a serious issue.
Right.
And I totally get that.
Okay.
But I love the fact that you said, you know, it ain't about the coach. We play for each other. We play for each other. Well, last time I checked, the player's going to still be there. And that quarterback is going to still be there. And by the way, I don't know how unhappy he's going to really be that John Gruden is gone. It certainly ain't going to compromise his skill set. So where I'm looking at it, excuse me, is the offensive coordinator let go? No. Is the defensive coordinator let go? No. Your special teams dude is now your head coach, and you jump on the table for him. That's what you said.
Yeah.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so are they still playing in Vegas, right?
Well, hold on.
You know, Allianz Stadium is still fly, right? Raider Nation is still fly, right? And all of this stuff is there, and so I don't want to hear anything
from anybody. Hold on.
Derek Carr, what you going to do? That's what this comes down to.
Derek Carr,
what you going to do?
But are you going to tell me that there was no distractions whatsoever
last
week?
That's Sunday against Chicago. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so
Absolutely. You
agree with me.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Do you
agree with me that maybe the head coach who calls the plays was in a fog?
Yes.
Okay, so that we got rid of that.
Tell me.
Okay.
But I was there.
No,
Monday, the game before Sunday,
I'm gonna get there.
I was there. Go ahead.
Could it be that the Chargers are a division opponent?
Really?
And the Chargers
that's what we doing?
Are a good football team.
That's what we're doing.
Could it be that?
It did.
And the Raiders got
me. No. I want to hear that. Man, you took Jeff Saturday? This man said to me that Derek Carr is a legit MVP candidate.
He was at the time.
Come on. You're damn right at the time.
He wasn't. Hold on.
And I walked into the stadium, Jeff Saturday. I was in a beautiful suite. The owner, Dean Spano, he had me in the suite. It was fly. It was really fly. So fly was so fly. I have to admit it, okay? It was a beautiful setting. Magic Johnson was there. I mean, everything. I saw Urkel, for crying out loud. He was in the house chilling, all right? I had a beautiful time. Here's the deal, Jeff Saturday. They walked in there. John Gruden walked out on the field waving his fist. Let's go, Raider Nation. Let's go. They were hyped. They outnumbered them by at least 75-25%.
The Chargers are a good team.
And then the Chargers went up 21-0. Okay? All I'm saying is I want to see Derek Carr. You said it. I didn't say it. You said it.
I think this new situation, he might be okay. What you think, Jeff?
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
It gives guys opportunities. I'm not gonna put Derek Carr in the MVP conversation. Like
not anymore. He's done now.
Don't group me with Keyshawn on that. I ain't putting him there. But I do. But this could honestly be a good opportunity for Derek Carr to show what he can do. And when all the chips are kind of down and everybody's got to kind of come together, can he bring everybody together, fortify them up, unite them, and let's let it roll? They do have a good squad, and they can be better. They can continue to get better. And Keith, and Jeff, and I both know, like, traction only lasts for a second. Like, ain't nobody bad for you. So they got to go make a play and get better in a hurry.
Schedule not bad till week 10.
That's right. Jeff, what makes me laugh, Jeff, is that Keyshawn up here, right? And he going like this. All right, Stephen A. All right, Jeff, you go. He doing Molly's job now, trying to direct traffic away from Derek Carr. I mean, we going to come right back to Derek Carr all season long. I'm a man.
Can you let me know when we're going?
Come on back here. That's what we going to do. And I don't even fit. I don't even go out fishing, all right? I ain't trying to do that. I don't like fishing like that, like Dak Prescott and Deion
Sanders. I got another team. How about them Cowboys? So I got another one.
Damn. That's what we do.
I can stop you down.
That's what we do.
I just throw that out there.
Okay.
We'll leave it on that note. Jeff, you're the best. Thank you for being with us. You can leave Stephen A's office now.
Derek Carr. Come on back here.
Oh, my goodness. Keyshawn, can I go to break?
Yes, you can go break.
Okay, thank you for that. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. We have some breaking news. The Nets have announced that Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he can become a full participant. Given the evolving nature of the situation, after thorough deliberation, we have decided Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. Kyrie has made a personal choice, and we respect his individual right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability. It is imperative that we continue to build chemistry as a team and remain true to our long-established values of togetherness and sacrifice. Our championship goals for the season have not changed, and to achieve these goals, each member of our organization must pull in the same direction. We are excited for the start of the season and look forward to a successful campaign that will make the borough of Brooklyn proud. We now bring in NBA champion Kendrick Perkins. Guys, and I don't want to overlook the fact when he talks about chemistry, don't forget, they only played a handful of games together, the big three. I think it was like 8 in the regular season. So that's certainly they want everybody on the court. Perk, how do you see this playing out?
Well, look, first of all, we tried to warn the world that this was going to happen. We saw the frustration with Steve Nash in his interviews. We started to see the frustration with Kevin Durant. And I love the stance that the Brooklyn organization is making that, hey, you're not bigger than the team. And they had a plan in place. That plan was for Kevin Durant to sign the extension. Next was supposed to be Kyrie Irving. And then the last person was supposed to be James Harden, who they gave up a lot to get last season. And when James Harden said that he is willing to go into free agency and test the waters because he never been, and now his deadline is coming up for him to sign the contract extension, look, the Brooklyn Nets are saying, you know what? We can't afford to lose James Harden. James Harden is just as valuable to this organization as Kyrie Irving. So with that being said, I love the stance. And guess what? I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie Irving retires this season for at least 1 or 2 years and comes back. He's that stubborn, and I don't see him getting vaccinated.
Let me tell y'all something. The Brooklyn Nets need to get rid of Kyrie Irving. He got to go.
Yes.
He's just a problem. He's just a problem. I want to put everything in its proper perspective, Keyshawn, Kendrick, Molly. There's a whole bunch of people out here, myself included, maybe not you, Key, but a lot of us that have reservations about taking the vaccine.
Understood.
But we took it.
Yes.
Not just because of us, but because of the people that we were going to be around. And more importantly, the obligations that we had. I don't get vaccinated, I can't do first take. I don't do first take, I'm leaving everybody stranded. Not to mention compromising my own bankroll and bottom line, which I was not going to do. Let me be very, very clear about that. Okay, I ain't apologizing for that to a damn soul, all right? That's how I roll, okay? Having said all of that, even if that were not the case, if I'm a member of a team and we've aligned and we're mission-minded, I'm not going to be the one to jump off the train to compromise the mission, okay? I'm going to be the one that stands pat and is like, yo, this is what we doing, this is what we got to do. Kevin Durant, 6.2 billion plus people have taken the vaccine. Whatever conspiracy Kyrie Irving wants to come up with, all right, good luck with that. But the bottom line is, that means you're looking at everybody else who's taking the vaccine, and that's the position that you're maintaining. People out there who don't want to take the vaccine, that's your personal choice. I get where you're coming from with that, but you evidently ain't a part of a team. Because if you're a part of a team and other people are doing it and you not doing it doesn't allow you to be a part of the team, then it comes time to make a choice and make the sacrifice and do what you need to do. Clearly, Kyrie ain't about that because Kyrie's about Kyrie. His heart might be in the right place philanthropically, charitably, in terms of the causes that he partakes and the donations that he makes and stuff like that. And he should not be excoriated from that. But the flip side to it is that his level of stubbornness has elevated to a glaring level of selfishness. And I completely applaud the Brooklyn Nets for taking this position. I said it before and I'm telling y'all again. They'd give his ass away for a box of cookies if they could. They're so disgusted with this dude. I'm telling you what I know, all right? Y'all figure out how the hell I know that. I ain't asking. I'm telling you. It's that disgusted. It's just that, like Kendrick Perkins said, this brother, when he says he might retire if he get traded, Keyshawn, we all know he might. He ain't playing now. I mean, he's that kind of dude. And so as a result, you got teams that don't want to trade for him, A, because he might retire, or B, he might be just as much trouble for them because his focus ain't just on basketball. And as a result, they got to give equitable compensation in return for his services. And why give away that for a dude you cannot trust? And be clear, you cannot trust Kyrie to be anything but Kyrie. He going to do what he feels is best for him. And everybody else be damned. And it's a damn shame because now you might lose James Harden because Daryl Morey is lurking in Philadelphia. Don't think for 1 second Daryl Morey ain't trying to get his hands on James Harden. I'm telling you what I know. Floor is yours.
No, I would say that the Brooklyn Nets did the right thing. No question about it, Perk and Stephen A. They did what they were supposed to do. Because when you look at it, if you got a player like Kyrie missing time, now all of a sudden, let's just assume that they're good enough to make it to deep run into the playoffs or make it to a championship. Now, all of a sudden, there's other states, and you know how states and cities are, they follow each other at some point in time, that all of a sudden they make a decision to adopt what New York and California has decided to do. Now, he can't even play in the championship games, let alone practice time with his team. You cannot, and you know this, Perk, you can't miss time practicing and then think you're going to just come and play in the game. The chemistry is going to be all thrown off. You're going to have all sorts of issues. So they did the right thing. And as far as moving him, who's going to take him? I know I wouldn't. Why would I want to disrupt my locker room and have that problem taking on your headache?
I got a question for you, Perk. Obviously played in the NBA, won a championship. They are the favorites to win the championship. They came together to win a championship. This isn't like, let's get to the playoffs, let's do this. This is like, we're going to win a ring. What are you thinking if you're in that locker room, if you're Harden, if you're KD, and this is what's happening with Kyrie?
Well, Molly, let me tell you something. Being part of a championship team and teams that, you know, going to, you know, five finals in my career, when you're part of a championship team, when I was in Boston, we used to have this saying, lose yourself in the team. Mm. Put your agendas aside and lose yourself in the team. Because for the simple fact, the goal that you're trying to accomplish is bigger than one individual. But look, this didn't just start right now. This started last year. Last year, and I said this, when Kyrie Irving, you know, didn't contact nobody and just sent a text message, I believe, to Steve Nash and said, hey, he's taking off for personal reasons, and the team had to go on the road and play some games, and then all of a sudden we saw footage of Kyrie Irving, I believe it was at his sister's birthday party doing the stanky leg. I said it was a problem right then. And Steve Nash don't deserve this. But when you're trying to win a championship, you need everyone to be committed. And you know who's probably frustrated right now? Because this decision wasn't just made by Sean Marks or Steve Nash or the ownership of the organization. This decision has to involve Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is saying, you know what, look, I've been going to war for you time and time again. Enough is enough.
So I guarantee you left me in the trenches, yeah.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah, we got more NBA.
I will say this. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, from what I'm told, has reached that point. He ain't, of course, he wants Kyrie there.
Yeah.
But if they trade him,
so be.
He ain't going to lose sleep.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The NHL is back on ESPN, and this is our opening night doubleheader. Tonight, the defending Stanley Cup champs starting their run at a three-peat against the Penguins at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Then the Kraken play their first regular season game in Vegas against the Golden Knights. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Listen to this, Philly fans. Look at that chain. Just in time for the start of the NBA season, new money. The Sixers may have gotten a surprise that neither the team or its fan base expected. Ben Simmons reported to Wells Fargo Center last night to take a COVID test to start the process of rejoining the franchise. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Big Perk, can they reconcile the 76ers and Simmons?
You know what? Stephen A. Molly, I had Doc Rivers on here 3 weeks ago, and Stephen A. asked Doc a lot of questions about Ben Simmons, and Doc was saying he wasn't giving up, and all he needed to do was get Ben Simmons there. And I was sitting back watching and saying, Doc, no, I don't believe you. And that was my bad for even doubting Doc Rivers. Something had to change, okay? Because you don't go from a guy that's saying, I'm willing to forfeit my salary for the season to showing up at the front door. And once Doc Rivers get Ben Simmons in that office, he's going to make it happen. Ben Simmons will play games for the Philadelphia 76ers. Yes, I strongly believe that they can reconcile. This is just stage one of marriage counseling. They have a ways to go, but getting them there, now he's probably already in the meeting with Doc Rivers.
Well, he's supposed to be in the meeting with Doc Rivers today. That much I can tell you. The only thing that he did yesterday was arrive to take his COVID test. And until the COVID test comes back negative, you weren't allowed on the, around the team. So he didn't see Doc Rivers and the staff and the players yesterday. He'll see them today if he hasn't already. Here's what we have to pay attention to. Joel Embiid said some things about him feeling disrespected and the team feeling disrespected. From my understanding, Ben Simmons is still of the mindset that he wants to be traded. He just did not want to lose his money because they took $8.25 million, as you know, KP, and they put it in escrow. But what that means is that he doesn't necessarily lose all of that money. That means they got it in escrow, and then they'll use it to fine him every day that he's missed. So he's already missed out probably on $1 million, $1.5 million, something along those lines. And the mentality is that over the span of 4 years, since he is owed $147 million over that span, that's something that could be made up, and supposedly he ain't sweating now. Evidently, he sweated it enough to get the hell back to the team, so he didn't have to be fined more. You got a $22 million mansion in Calabasas to pay for. Quite frankly, that's what it is. Well, that's what it is. I mean, it was public information. I didn't expose it. I'm just telling you what's been put out there.
22?
Yeah, $22 million.
Around the corner, but we can talk offline.
Wow.
All I'm saying is, but that was put out. I don't do that. But other people put that.
I thought the valley's a little cheaper.
All right, so here's the deal. At the end of the day, here's what it comes down to. He's back with the team, but he's still hell-bent on being moved, being traded.
Yes.
The mentality is that in order to get back, you got to maintain or elevate your market value. The longer you stay away, the worse you look. Not only are you losing money, your cachet is diminishing. The team can't get equitable compensation in return for your services because they'll be moving you for 20 cents on the dollar. They're not willing to do that. Plus, you're hurting your status and your cachet. Now, people in Philadelphia and stuff like that, he's going to take some heat.
Yes.
Ben Simmons needs to understand why he's going to take major heat from Philadelphia. You're the one that messed up hitting only 30% of your 34% of your free throws in the postseason in a 7-game series loss to the Atlanta Hawks. You were the one who appeared scared to shoot the ball. Philadelphia is not maligning Ben Simmons because he played bad. Philadelphia is maligning Ben Simmons because you came across like you blaming us for what you did, when in actuality, all we've done is support you all of these years. So that's where the vitriol from the city of Philadelphia is going to come from. If he's man enough to take it, it's possible he can survive. Yeah. But because he'll go out there and play well, and then it'll be water under the bridge. I don't know if he's willing to do that, and that's why I think he's come back with the intent to ultimately get traded sooner than later.
You covered the Sixers, the Eagles, you Philadelphia guys, yep. So you kind of know the pulse of the city.
Yes.
I don't think it could be reconciled. Whenever you decide, maybe Doc feels a certain way, but when you got Joel Embiid saying what he's saying, now you brought up, Stephen A., the city. You turned your back on the city. Now you want us to forgive you. Plus, you've already checked out. Mentally, you've checked out. You've already said you did not want to be a part of the Sixers. You wanted to move on. Now you go back in to basically save money, which is a smart move. Don't give money away. It's hard to earn. Don't give it away. Go in and hold your value strong so the team can make a decision on who wants to trade for you so they can maximize that value. Don't hurt yourself by doing that. But you say, hey, just play well. Well, what if he starts off playing bad? What if there's an air ball here? What if there's a missed shot there? What if there's missed free throws? What if I don't want to shoot? I get caught up in the same things that I was doing in the playoffs. Imagine what that fan base and how fast they're going to turn
up. God forbid.
Now, all of a sudden, that value going to go, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with.
I will say this to you real quick, KP. The only thing that would be absolutely disastrous for Ben Simmons, and I would strongly advise him not to do this in the city of Philadelphia, you could play bad, and that's going to be bad enough, don't get me wrong, but if there is just a scintilla, a speck of a question mark as to your effort, That's when it will get ugly. When they look at you and they go like this, oh, he's not playing hard. He's not running
hard. But they're going to do that anyway if he ain't scoring.
No, he ain't doing what they want him to do. Not in Philadelphia. Not effort. Philadelphia will pick up on effort. You can sit up there and mess up. But if they see a lack of effort, God help him.
Yeah, but listen, Ben Simmons had to report to Philly with some type of plan in place, okay? We already know, you know, Rich Paul is not no dummy. Who's his agent? And for the people out there who don't know, okay? So that's the first thing. Keyshawn and even Stephen A., we all know what can sometimes heal wounds in professional sports. Winning, right? Winning and playing well. So my thing is, one, Ben Simmons, yes, you have to go out there and play well to up your value so you can get traded. But what if you actually play well, your team is playing well? Because, by the way, this same exact team was number one in the East last year with the best record in the Eastern Conference. What if you elevate your game and play well, and like I always said, those boos start turning into chants? Ben Simmons.
All right, we got to go, guys.
Ben,
we don't know.
Sorry, guys.
No. The only reason I'm saying that is because they were number one seed last year and he still wanted to leave. You'd have to make him stick around this whole regular season. He doesn't want to do that.
Nets Sixers, October 22nd. We'll see what guys will actually be in that game. Big Perk, talk to you soon, sir.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, back to our top story of the day. John Gruden resigning as head coach of the Raiders in the wake of his racist, misogynistic, and anti-gay emails being exposed during an investigation of the Washington football team. Rich Bisaccia now takes over as the Raiders' interim head coach. Keyshawn, I'll start with you. You played under him for 2 years. You won a Super Bowl together. Your final thoughts here.
Well, it's a sad situation to a coach's career. In what John Gruden tried to do. He won a Super Bowl with us, like you said, Molly. He tried to reinvent the Oakland Raiders to the Las Vegas Raiders. He didn't get a chance to see it through because of these emails. And in the end of the day, the Raiders got it right. I mean, they got it right. And, you know, he's got a lot of soul searching to do. He's got to sit there and think about some of the things that he's done, not only to hurt his family, but also hurt a whole bunch of people, like Stephen A. said earlier, blacks, the LGBTQ community, women who want to be referees, so on and on, the commissioner. You got a lot of thinking to do, buddy. It's the bottom line.
His career is over, as far as I'm concerned. There's no way around it. I certainly, again, didn't know about all of these emails. All of us didn't. You know, to know that for over a span of 7+ years, you were sending this kind of rhetoric through emails to your buddies, okay, It just speaks volumes, and I don't think there's any coming back from that because of the multitude of groups of people that you stigmatized in the fashion that you did. What he did also should be incredibly alarming to the NFL from the standpoint that if there was ever a level of motivation that should be attached to diversifying management and ownership, this should be the final straw in terms of making that a priority. If you had black people in positions of power and other minorities in positions of power, and you made sure that it wasn't folks just having to answer the white males, okay, you might not have had this kind of problem. You might not have to be concerned about the multitude of problems you've had to find yourself concerned with over these years. And so obviously the NFL wanted him to act. They wanted Mark Davis to act on this. They tried to be proactive and what have you. We can appreciate that. But the NFL appears to be a very incestuous climate, a very incestuous environment from the standpoint of just some of the insidious things that have been taking place over the last few years. This just shows they never cared. All the stuff, the social justice issues, you know, and everything else that's going on all of these years and what they took heat for from Ray Rice and beyond moving forward. All of this stuff, Colin Kaepernick, all of this stuff that they've had to deal with. For this man to be sending those kind of emails and those individuals embracing it and communicating with it and acting like it was okay, he's not the only one that's going to have to answer for this in the end. They're going to have to answer for it, too. And in the end, it shows that what we suspect existed all along. It hasn't changed, yeah. And they better do something about it.
And it has a paper trail. This isn't going away. We'll be back tomorrow. Keyshawn, thanks for being with us.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.